book, was to commence this evening with hymn 886. 886. I seek and hope to find a portion for my soul, to heal a feverish mind and make a bankrupt whole, a cup of blessing for the poor that's free and full and flowing on. Hymn 886.
June 960.
I seek and hope to find a portion for my soul to heal a feverish mind and make up.
Read together from the sacred scriptures, the word of God, reading from the book of Daniel, chapter 9. The ninth chapter in the book of Daniel, reading down to verse 23. The book of Daniel, reading down to verse So chapter 9, Daniel chapter 9, reading down to verse 23. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces as at this day. To the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown as at this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly, O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now, therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name, for we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter, and consider the vision. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we would come before him in prayer. Almighty and most holy Lord God, we seek grace to come before thee now, as Daniel of old also came before thee in prayer and in supplications. We also would come on the grounds of thy mercy. We also would come as sinners, confessing our sins, acknowledging our iniquities, owning that we have transgressed thy holy commandments. O Lord, we're a company of sinners, and how we deserve the punishment of our sins, how we deserve thy wrath and anger and righteous indignation, for we have broken thy holy law, we have disobeyed thy commandments. We have done wrong, we have rebelled, we have done wickedly. Against thee, thee only have we sinned, and done all this evil in thy sight. And if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand before such an holy, pure, righteous, sin-hating, sin-punishing God? that there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Blessed be God. Forgiveness, clemency, pardon, mercy. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, who passeth by the transgressions of a heritage of thy people, who retaineth not his anger for ever, because he delighteth in mercy. And, O Lord, that we might be taught our need of thy mercy. Oh, to know something of the plague of our own hearts, to know that we have sinned against thee, to know that we have no righteousness of our own acceptable unto thee, that we have no merits of our own, no good works, nothing to commend ourselves. Indeed, that we have nothing to pay against that great debt of the broken law. Oh, but mercy. And mercy through blood. The precious blood of Jesus that he shed upon the cross at Calvary, there to open that door of mercy for poor, guilty, lost, ruined, undone, hell-deserving sinners. O, the Saviour, who is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. And he is the propitiation for our sins, the mercy seat. Oh, where mercy is to be found and obtained, but in the Lord the Saviour, Jesus Christ. Oh, that there is none other, no other Saviour, none other name given us under heaven, whereby we must be saved, but that of the Lord Jesus. Oh, to be taught our need of him to save us from our sins. And was it not said, though in scorn and hatred, but oh, a blessed truth, this man receiveth sinners. Oh, who came not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. May we be found coming to the Lord Jesus with that godly sorrow which worketh repentance to salvation, and lead us out of self and unto Christ. Oh, may we know that inward work of thy Holy Spirit, who shall take of thine and reveal it unto us in revealing the Lord Jesus, the one thing needful, the pearl of great price, the altogether lovely, the friend of publicans and sinners, O, the merciful Saviour, the mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, the intercessor above, the great high priest, he who suffered, bled, and died, and shed his own heart's blood to make atonement for sin, and the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, to know it, to prove it, to feel it, that sweet sense of blood-bought pardon. And yet how a hymn writer also penned, what comfort can the Saviour bring to those who never felt their woe? But, oh Lord, if we feel our woe, woe is me, I have sinned against thee. Woe is me, I am undone. Woe is me, I'm a guilty sinner. Fulfilling that woe, or then to be led to Christ, drawn to Christ. Draw me, we will run after thee. Remember such souls who have turned in tonight, seeking Jesus. We would see Jesus. Those dear sheep who long to hear thy voice. Lord, speak to me. Remember me. Have compassion upon me. Have mercy upon me. Be not silent to me, O Lord, lest if thou be silent unto me, I be like unto them that go down into the pit. But speak the word only, and thy servant shall be made whole. O those poor leprous souls who fall before thee in worship, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. O grant an I will tonight. O Lord, grant that cleansing. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. O Lord, those who long to know thee, not satisfied to know about thee, not satisfied to know of thee, but to know thee personally, savingly. Ah, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Remember me with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. Lord, any have turned in, feeling much a plague of their own heart, mourning much because they cannot cease from sin. Oh, confessing their sins, but supplicating thy mercy, begging for pardon, and oh, to know that peace in believing, and to have that sweet assurance, to make our calling and thus our election sure, and oh, to be enabled to say that my beloved is mine, and I am his. Thus to know that all is well, for time and for eternity. Lord, we are yet in time, this time state. We're living our lives here upon this earth. And one day we must die. One day we must leave everything here. Oh, one day we must stand before thee. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear. Is Jesus Christ thine only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? O Lord, that we might be likened to those wise virgins, bless with that oil of grace in our hearts, and thus be ready when the bridegroom cometh. For cometh he will. Lord, if there are any here tonight unconcerned, indifferent, as it were putting these things off, it doesn't matter now. Lord, it does matter. Oh, make them to know it does matter now. And bring them into great concern of their never dying souls. Oh, Lord, do remember any in providential need tonight in the pathway. Oh, it may be the trial of faith. It may be in the path of tribulation, a path of affliction, a path of suffering, disappointment, crooked things, hard things. Oh, sanctify these things unto them, and do in thy mercy appear and send help. Oh, Lord, we will remember each one from the youngest to the eldest in all their various needs. Oh, Lord, supply every need. Bless each soul, attend to every case. May there be a portion for seven and also for eight. May none go home disappointed, feeling to have been left out, forgotten, overlooked. But Lord, remember each and every one. Bless this cause of truth. Grant them to know that thy spirit remaineth here. Work mightily in the midst. And O manifest thy work in the hearts and the lives of thy people. O bless the officers of the church and grant much wisdom and grace. Remember each church member and do help them and each one in the congregation, from the youngest through to the eldest, and may there yet be Holy Ghost additions. Lord, remember them at this time concerning the building works, the complications, the difficulties. O make straight that which is so crooked. Undertake for them, and may they yet see thy good hand going out before them in the way. Lord, O especially bless the ministry of thy word here. Help thy servants who come from time to time. Bless the preaching of the gospel. Remember Zion. Shine upon the churches. Remember all thy people worldwide in all their various needs. Have mercy upon our guilty land and nation, and remember the nations of the earth. Overrule in all things. Glorify thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we would be thankful for every blessing, every favour, every privilege that we have. Oh, we have much to be thankful for. We come short in our thanksgivings. Oh, for a truly grateful, thankful heart to acknowledge thee in all of our ways. And as we come to this time of year, we especially remember the coming of the Lord Jesus into this world to save his people from their sins. Oh, may we be kept from being taken up in the ways of the world, but rather, oh, to be thankful. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Hear our prayer. Forgive our every sin. Send answers of peace. Help us through this service. And afterward take each one back to their homes in peace and safety with a blessing. We ask all in that worthy name of Jesus and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 806, the second part. The second part of hymn 806. Come, you backsliding sons of God, for many such there are, who long the paths of sin have trod. Come, cast away despair. Return to Jesus Christ and see there's mercy still for such as we. Hymn 806, the second part.
June 619.
Come ye backsliding sons of God.
As the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I direct our prayerful attention to the book of the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 29, and from verses 13 and the former part of verse 14. Jeremiah chapter 29, from verses 13 and 14, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity." Jeremiah chapter 29 from verses 13 and 14. "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity." Two most godly, gracious men we have in Jeremiah and Daniel. Two men the Lord raised up to speak in his name. Two men who had different pathways to walk. Jeremiah was a pathway of much suffering, much sorrow, and much anguish. Daniel, taken away as perhaps a young lad in that first band of captivity, and yet there he proves the most remarkable experiences, refusing that food offered up unto idols, given the water and pulse, and yet flourish therein. What an example then, that honour me, I will honour, and the wisdom that God gave unto him. And so he was promoted to those certain positions throughout his time there. And again, that remarkable deliverance in the lion's den. Or how Daniel proved the goodness of God and believed to live to a great age. Again, it was believed that he lived at the beginning of a 70 years captivity, and still alive 70 years later when the Lord would turn the captivity of his people. I would just have you notice in verse 10, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place." Now, that is what God has spoken, that is what God had promised, and that is what God would perform. No ifs, no buts, no maybes. That would happen 70 years later. Another prophet at this time, with another pathway, was Ezekiel. And there's a very, very important word we read in Ezekiel, and may we be given grace to take heed to it, concerning the blessings of God, the promises of God. I believe it's towards the end of chapter 36, again, the Lord speaking of turning the captivity of his people and greatly blessing them. "For these things I will be inquired of, O house of Israel, to do them unto you. I will increase you with men like as a flock. For these things I will be inquired of by prayer and supplications." Prayer was appointed to convey the blessings God designs to give. Long as they live, should Christians pray, for only while they pray, they live. What a privilege is prayer. Are we praying souls? Let me repeat that. Are we praying souls? Have we been taught by the Holy Spirit to pray? Because anyone can, as it were, say a prayer. And I often use the example of Saul of Tarsus. He was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, we might say a theological college, training him up there for office within the Church of God, that is, the outward Church of God of the Pharisees, a position there. And he knew his Bible. He knew the original Hebrew. He knew the truth in the letter of it. And as a Pharisee, he would have said many, many prayers, perhaps even repeating the prayers in the Psalms, upon his lips, out of his mouth. But feelingly, from his heart, there was nothing. There was no prayer. Just like that Pharisee who went to the temple and told God what a good person he was, and how upright and moral and holy he felt himself to be, as it were commending himself unto God. But when the Lord dealt with Saul of Tarsus at Damascus, oh, now the inward work of the Holy Spirit, now the teaching of God, and the Lord taught him of a plague of his own heart. The Lord taught him that fundamental truth the Lord will teach all his people, that he was a sinner, that he had no righteousness of his own. The Lord stripped away every thread of it. And now that testimony from heaven itself, first spoken to Ananias, for behold, he prayeth. For behold, he prayeth. Now he's a praying soul. Now the Lord has taught him to pray. And I find a great connection there with what we read at that time of Saul of Tarsus. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? No longer my will, but now it's thy will. And that should also be a great influence in our prayers. Likewise, also the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth a heart, who knoweth the mind of the Spirit, maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When we come before the Lord in prayer, oh, may we pray in accordance to his will. I find that so searching, that word in James, ye ask and ye receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye might consume it upon your lusts. The end of our prayers, is it to glorify God, or is it all for ourselves? All these things truly search us out. But a great mercy to be taught to pray. And I believe everyone is taught to pray. Perhaps at the very beginning of a prayer is, Lord, teach me to pray. Every child of God will be made teachable. Not a character who, I know it all, I know how to pray, I know how to do this. But the Lord must make his people teachable, very humble, very meek, very low, very dependent, and dependent upon the Holy Spirit to grant that spirit of prayer, that real prayer might be indicted, that we might truly come before the Lord with an honest heart, that we might be blessed with that faith not just to believe in God, because Jesus warned that the devils also believe and tremble, but all to have that true belief in the Word of God. The Word of God written and the Word of God incarnate. To truly believe in him to the saving of our souls. And that believing in him is that believing in the Trinity, believing in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Saviour. Again, we can have that knowledge in our heads that the Lord Jesus is the Saviour. But the Holy Spirit will teach the children of God that great vital need to know the Lord Jesus, not as the Saviour, but my Saviour. My Saviour. Oh, do we know him as my Saviour? Do we long to know him as my Saviour, the one who alone can save us from all of our sins, to save us from a never-ending eternity in hell, which you and I deserve because we have sinned against God. We have broken the commandments of God. We are guilty. We're under that condemnation, but the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. But what a great blessing if we have been taught by God our need of the Lord Jesus Christ to save us from our sins, to become the captain of our salvation made perfect through sufferings, and to understand a little of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the Apostle Paul who said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. But the Apostle Paul did know him, but he wanted to know him more and more and more. The Apostle Peter ends his, I think, second epistle, writing there to the believers, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And the two go together. Where there's that growth in grace, so there's that growth in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And where there's that growth in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, so there's that growth in grace. And both will humble. Oh, when we know more and more the plague of our own hearts and what great sinners we are and how we have sinned against God and our sins are innumerable and what we deserve as the punishment of our sins, but then to know the Lord Jesus as our Saviour, who has saved us from all of our sins. And do remember this, though our sins abound, the grace of God in the finished work of the Lord Jesus doth much more abound. Is the one troubled tonight because of the abundance of your sins, because of the multitude of your sins, because of the greatness of your sins, because you cannot cease from sin? And it's not just sinful deeds and not also sinful words, but you may feel more and more and more those sinful thoughts, that which defileth a man, which cometh out of the heart of a man, those evil thoughts that keep coming out of our hearts. Oh, what an abundance. And you feel your sins are so many, you could never be forgiven. You can never obtain the mercy of God because you're such a great sinner. But the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. If ever in the Word of God, where we have that little word all, meaning so much, surely it's there. Surely it's there. And the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. Every single sin. The Lord doesn't partially pardon, forgive, cleanse. It's full forgiveness is with thee. Full forgiveness. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, I do trust there are some here tonight longing to know your sins forgiven, longing to know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, longing to know that peace in believing, and longing to be made sure, to have that clear work. It's beautiful, isn't it, in the Song of Solomon, and we read there, that my beloved is mine, and I am his. Is that what you long for? Oh, to have that sweet assurance that the Lord Jesus is your Saviour, your Redeemer, your great High Priest above, your Mediator, your Advocate with the Father, but also your Shepherd, your Friend, your helper. Yea, your all in all. This is my beloved and this is my friend, that I may know him. Do we not speak to such seeking souls? And ye shall seek me. We have a divine shall here in our text. And ye shall seek me. And that's spoken to every child of God, to every sinner whom the Lord is determined to save, to every one of his sheep who shall hear his voice and who shall follow him, to everyone who is born again of the Holy Spirit and quickened into spiritual life. And ye shall seek me. Inasmuch as the Lord shall seek for his people and find them, to call them by his grace, to make them willing in the day of his power, to cause them to leave this world's deceitful shore and leave it to return no more, to seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near, and ye shall seek me. Oh, ye shall seek. There was a time that we didn't seek him. There was a time we wanted to seek the things of this world, the fashions of this world, the ways of this world. We wanted to seek our own way, our own thing. We didn't want to seek the Lord. That was for religious people. That was for older people. That didn't concern us. Or we would seek our own, but never would we seek the Lord. How solemn to be left in such a state, such a condition. How solemn to be satisfied with a name to live, a mere profession of Christianity. Oh, how solemn to be found just like those foolish virgins, without any real concern for their souls, any real concern for the oil of grace. I just think of that young rich man. He had an abundance, he had so much of the things of his life. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? What shall I do? He wanted something to do that he might glory in the flesh. The Lord Jesus pointed him to the law. Keep the law and thou shalt live. All these have I kept from my youth up. Of course, the Lord Jesus never said the actual words, but it might have well been said, "You liar," because nobody has kept the law from their youth up. He was lying because he was deceived, and he was deceiving himself, and he was deceiving others. A deceiver. "One thing thou lackest," replied the Lord Jesus to him. One thing. He had so much. He had so many, many, many things, but one thing thou lackest. Go sell all that thou hast and give to the poor, and come take up thy cross and follow me. This he did not. Why? Because he lacked one thing, and that one thing was the grace of God. If he had a grace of God in his heart, he would have gone and obeyed the Lord Jesus. He never sought the Lord Jesus. He never sought eternal life. It was all, "What must I do that he might glory in the flesh?" But ye have not so learned Christ. If indeed ye have been taught by him the truth as it is in Jesus, if you have been taught of the plague of your hearts, if you have been taught, or feeling that lack of grace, "But ye shall seek me." This is what the Lord will do. This is what the Lord will do unto his people. "Ye shall seek me," and the Lord will cause his people to seek him, to turn to him, to seek his mercy, to seek his grace, to seek his compassion, to seek his love. "Ye shall seek me." In case of the prodigal seems to be pressing on my mind. At first he wanted to seek the world and the things of the world. He thought the world would make him happy. He thought the world would give him pleasure. He thought he would have enjoyments in this world. he must prove, like Solomon in the Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanities, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. But he never sought his father, he sought to leave his father. He sought the world and the things of the world. And there he continued for a time. But I believe getting poorer and poorer as he gave to the world, but the world gave nothing to him. So by the time the famine came, he had nothing. He had nothing. He had no money. He had no friends. Have you thought of that before? Yes, he had no money. In that sense, he was bankrupt. But he had no friends. Nobody wanted to befriend him now. A child of God has no place in this world. Wherefore come ye out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and ye shall be my children, and I will be your father. No man gave unto him. No man had compassion upon him. No man pitied him. No man felt for him. He joined himself to a citizen of a land. And what did he do? Send him out in the field of swine. And being so hungry, fain would he have fed upon the husks that the swine did eat. Again, no man gave unto him. And there he may have continued for a time, going down and down and down, facing death. Until he remembered his father's house, where there was bread enough and to spare. I will arise and go unto my father, and I will say unto him, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am not worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Oh, receive me back into the home, and I will be the lowest of the lowest servants. To be the meanest, their content, should Jesus but their souls present. You see, he was brought back to seek his father. And not just to seek his father. He came back truly sorry for his sins. He came back with true repentance, repenting of his sins. And though he came back to his father, he came back seeking the mercy of his father. Very careful using the words if. But if that son had come back, still in the pride of his own heart, without any repentance, without any sorrow, oh, if he came back demanding his place again, demanding half of the inheritance again, demanding to be honoured and respected again, trying to lift his head high, would he have been received back? Well, no, he wouldn't have been. And nor will any child of God coming unto God in that way be received back. They have to come broken, humble, penitent, empty, poor, afflicted, needy. Oh, they have to come. And I believe that young man came back in rags. Or he came back as a beggar. Literally, he came back as a beggar, begging the mercy of his father. Begging to be back within his father's home. In a sense, begging to be a servant. And ye shall seek me. This is how the Lord deals with his people. And he will bring them forth out of the world, and he will cause them to seek him. Oh, he will have compassion, he will have mercy, he will show pity. But he will deal with them. He will empty them, he will strip them, he will convict them. They shall be poor and needy, but ye shall seek me. Ye shall seek me. Oh, what a mercy the Lord has thus dealt with us to cause us to seek him. Now again, seek him in prayer. And every convicted soul seeking the Lord in prayer will learn in their hearts the publican's prayer. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Is that your prayer? Is it my prayer? Surely a daily prayer for every living soul, every guilty soul. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. An acknowledgement there that we have sinned against God, but also an acknowledgement that God is merciful. Merciful. To those who believe in duty faith, to those who believe they can go to heaven by their good works, know nothing of God's mercy. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. A mercy is for the undeserved. That we will never deserve mercy. We will never deserve anything from God but his wrath and anger and the punishment of our sins. That's what we deserve. But mercy is for the undeserved. And of his soul seeking the Lord, come feeling, I do not deserve it, I am not worthy, but oh, have mercy. Have mercy upon me, a poor, guilty, vile, hell-deserving sinner. And ye shall seek me. Oh, especially the Lord Jesus, the dear Saviour. Nor shalt thou seek his face in vain. God to view in Christ the Lord, the propitiation set forth through faith in his blood. And every heaven-taught soul will be found seeking the Lord Jesus, seeking to know him, seeking to be found in him, seeking, oh, to be washed in his precious blood from all the sins and clothed upon in his spotless robe of righteousness, seeking to be found accepted in the Beloved, oh, seeking that saving knowledge of him. And ye shall seek me. Ye shall seek me. Something the natural man would never do. The natural man speaks in his heart, we will not have this man to reign over us. Away with him. Away with him. But those wrought upon by the Holy Spirit and taught their need of the Lord Jesus to save them from their sins, oh, they shall truly seek him. They shall seek him. Let me just mention here what follows also. With all your heart, when you search for me with all your heart, there is that danger of being half-hearted. There is that danger of having our hearts so mixed with unbelief and doubts and fears and temptations, we might turn aside, that we might question the mercy of God, the grace of God, the love of God, that we might question being received, and all that terrible state of being lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, but indifferent. Now the Lord will stir up the hearts of his people to bring them into such an urgency concerning their never dying souls that they shall search for him with all their hearts. All their hearts. Another great truth I believe the Holy Spirit impresses or teaches the children of God, that one thing is needful. One thing is needful. Yes, in providence my God shall supply all your need. But having all the things in providence will never save our souls. One thing is needful, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the one thing needful. I may have mentioned this in your hearing before, but you lose something of little value and you seek for it for a time, but because it's of little value, you do not find it, you give up, it doesn't matter. It can be replaced or another one can be purchased. But then you lose something of vital importance. something perhaps sentimental, or some greatly important document that you must have, or how you search for it, and you keep searching until you find it. And when you find it, oh, what joy and rejoicing there is, because that which was lost has now been found. You search for it with all your heart because it's so important. Well, the very most important things we can have in our lives are in no comparison to this here in our text of seeking the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Having that great desire to find him, to know him. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Generally speaking, when we lose things, items, and we seek for them, we perhaps have no promise of God that we will find them. Although I do know cases where somebody has lost various things and the Lord has spoken that they shall find. I'll just give you one example in scripture of David at Ziklag. He lost, didn't he, all his wives and children. And David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And the Lord promised to him that without fail thou shalt recover all. And he did, because God has spoken. But here in our text we have a most wonderful promise. A promise spoken by Almighty God. And he has said, and shall he not do it? Shall he not perform it? And he shall seek me and find me. Ye shall seek me and find me. What a promise. What an encouragement to one seeking the Lord. That promise that they shall find. Now let us be careful. The natural man, the deceitful, hard heart, the presumptuous soul might look at this text and say, well, I shall seek. I have his promise of finding, so I don't need to search diligently, because here we have his promise that one day I will find. Well, that is a natural man, that is the flesh, that is not the spirit. We need to look at the whole text. Indeed, we need to be found in the whole text. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you. Some seek long, some shorter. But the promise is, and find me. Now that seeking soul is never satisfied in being a seeker. A great blessing to be a seeker. To be found seeking the Lord in humble hope of finding him. But no soul is satisfied in seeking him. The satisfaction comes in finding him. Again, when we lose something and we seek for it, there's no satisfaction in looking for it, seeking it. But only in the finding. And so it is here in our text. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you. Seeking diligently with all your heart, that great pressing urgent need. To seek the Lord while he may be found, to seek his mercy. Oh, to seek the merciful Saviour. Oh, to seek him where he might be found, to seek him in his word. He is to be found in his word. Jesus Christ written upon every page of scripture. And if aught there dark appear, Beware thy wanton sight. Now that's a good prayer, isn't it, of David? Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, whose name shall be called Wonderful. To behold a wonderful Saviour, the Lord Jesus, in the Word of God, as the Spirit is pleased to reveal unto ourselves, to find him in his Word. Or we would see Jesus. Again, to find him at the throne of grace, by which we approach unto God. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And in our prayers, we do not plead in our own name, for our own sake, but we ask in the name of Jesus and for his sake alone. Oh, to find him at the throne of grace. Who is the throne of grace? Who is the King of grace? Who is the way, the truth, and the life? And ye shall seek me. But further, I want to see it in this way, perhaps in the previous verse. To seek the Lord in prayer. And oh, to find those answers. Call upon me and I will answer thee. The Lord is a prayer hearing and prayer answering God. And we seek him in prayer. We seek him at the throne of grace. And oh, to find him there. The living God who listens. Yes, there may be delays. But the Lord hears the prayers of his people. Every prayer. A prayer which is indicted by the Holy Spirit, the Lord will surely hear. And though we may have to go 7 times, though in some things we may be denied, yet still the Lord hears. And ye shall seek me and find me. Again, in the means of grace, as we gather together in his name, we have that promise, don't we, that we're 2 or 3 gather together in my name. I take the 2 and 3 to be a little small company. There am I in the midst. Perhaps not everyone coming in the company is truly seeking the Lord. But those who do seek him, oh, what a blessed thing it is to find him. To find him. To feel his presence here. To feel the Lord come just where we are, to have that word from the Lord. Again, to seek him in the preaching of the gospel. The Lord has promised to bless the preaching of the gospel. I do fear that in these days in which we live, there's such a withholding. Perhaps there's a withholding of the Holy Spirit because there's a withholding of our seeking the Lord as diligently with all our heart as we should. Again, it's been a great concern to me, even personally. Church of Laodicea were lukewarm. They were lukewarm. Do we come tonight lukewarm? Or do we come seeking with all of our hearts, seeking his gracious presence here? Seeking a blessing here, seeking a token for good, oh, seeking a pledge of his love. Oh, seeking by the eye of faith to look up and see no man save Jesus only. Oh, to have that witness, to be enabled to testify the Lord is in this place. It was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. And ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. We have the 2 accounts in the Song of Solomon. Those first beginnings of the work of God in the hearts of his people. I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not, but she carried on seeking. I do feel there in both accounts, that is what perhaps stands out. She continued seeking. And I would say to every seeking soul tonight, does Satan tempt you to give up? And I'm sure he does. And his temptations are very real and very powerful. And you give up because you haven't found him. I found him not. And yet the fact was, whom my soul loveth. And if we find an echo in our hearts of that, whom my soul loveth, is it not abundant proof? Ye shall seek me, because the Lord is working in your heart. Whom my soul loveth, but I found him not. But by continuing seeking, she found him. But then perhaps in connection with our second hymn and the context here, when we think of Daniel, the children of Israel, that second time in the Song of Solomon, when she was lying in ease upon her bed, that knocking at the door, and she did not rise, and she made excuses, and eventually she did rise, and gradually, as it were, made her way to the door, to unlock the door, to open from the handle the door. Eventually, she didn't rush, there was no zeal. There, her love was wanting. I opened to my beloved, fully expecting him to be there to receive her. But my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. What a shock. What a great shock, as she was expecting him to be there, but she had delayed. She had laid upon her bed of ease. She had taken her time, but was not with all your heart. So half-hearted. My beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. I sought him but could not find him. I called to him but he gave me no answer. And now she felt to be so solitary. How the watchman smote her. The Lord chastened her. She was now in great need again. The Lord was stirring up her heart. And she must yet seek him again. Now so broken, so troubled, so burdened, so sorrowful. She had caused him to withdraw. We have that word, don't we? Grieve not the Holy Spirit. And yet how often some of us feel to grieve the Holy Spirit and cause the Lord to hide his face, to cause the Lord to withdraw for a time. And maybe know that gracious sanctifying effect that when the Lord has withdrawn, there is that heart searching. There is that confession of sin. There is that returning unto the Lord. There is that of seeking him. Though we have caused him to withdraw and hide himself. And ye shall seek me and find me, even the backslider. What a wonderful promise to those who are backslidden, only have themselves to blame, have lost, as it were, the presence of the Lord. Did not David also pray, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation? He'd lost it. But how he prays that he might, as it were, regain it. And ye shall seek me and find me. When you search for me with all your heart. It's a lovely account of the Syrophoenician. And it concerned her daughter. And what faith she was given by the Lord to seek him. We do not know exactly where she lived and where the Lord Jesus was found, but I believe there was a journey to seek him. She only had one object to seek. You think all around, all these physicians, all these medical men, all these others, perhaps wise men, but the Holy Spirit had put into her heart, if ever her daughter was to be healed, it must be the Lord Jesus. If ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. So she must seek him. And she sought him. We just come to the Lord Jesus. He had been labouring much around Galilee. And as a real man, he was now very tired and very wearied, and sought a time of quiet, of rest. And so he went into that certain home, and it would appear he would rest and would have no man know it, or no man, or he hid himself, I forget the exact words now. But what we do read, he could not be hid. I find that remarkable the creator of heaven and earth and all that therein is, with whom nothing shall be impossible, but he could not be hid. The Lord Jesus knew all about that woman and her daughter. And he knew that she was seeking him. He had given her that faith, both to seek him, and having that God-given faith, she would also find him, because God-given faith will always find the Saviour. So he could not be hid in that sense. And this certain woman, in deep distress, in deep need, she sought him, she found him. With all your heart, she poured out her heart unto him. She told him all her sad complaints, all about her daughter. The Lord Jesus knew all about it. Look again that word in Ezekiel, for these things I will be inquired of, O house of Israel. Oh, how she begged of him to come and help, come and heal. But he answered her not a word. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. So he never sent her away. He never denied her, though he spoke not one word. In one sense, there was a word that he spoke. Wait. Wait. The disciples misunderstood, and thinking that Jesus needed a time of quiet, sought to send her away. Send her away. But the Lord Jesus never sent her away. Well, not yet. And then he did speak, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the children of Israel. And it brought forth that cry, didn't it? Lord, help me. It is not meet to take of the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat from under the master's table. O woman, great is thy faith. And he had compassion and healed her daughter. He blessed her abundantly. And ye shall seek me and find me. Where the Lord has granted us that faith to truly seek him, then we have that promise of finding him. But I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I brought him into my mother's house, and so on. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you. So we have a divine shall, and now we have a divine will. And I will be found of you. Though for a time the Lord may be pleased in his sovereignty to hide himself, it is but for a time. And there is teaching in it. There may be a stirring up. There may be much heart searching. Are we seeking with all of our hearts? Is the Lord Jesus the one thing needful? Is he the pearl of great price? Is he altogether lovely? Are we truly seeking him? Do we have that single eye? Do we still have part of our heart towards the world and the things of the world? Is it with all our heart? Remember Lot's wife. Very solemn. In a sense, she had that remarkable deliverance out of Sodom. The Lord, having compassion, laid hold upon Lot, her husband and two daughters, and as it were, forced them out. She'd left something behind. She left her heart behind. And she looked back and became a pillar of salt, unspeakably solemn. Oh, may the Lord yet have compassion upon us and compel us to seek him. But with all your heart. Well, if the Lord, the Holy Spirit, has begun that work of grace, compelling us to seek the Lord, then he will also cause us to seek him with all our hearts. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity. Oh, we may feel to be in a captivity, but your psalmist prayed, bring my soul out of prison and I will praise thy name. Or perhaps you long tonight for loose him and let him go. Or you long to know that gospel liberty. You long to be found in him. And I will turn away your captivity. The Lord can do it in a moment. Just one word from the Lord, one touch from the Lord, one blessing from the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. This is what the Lord does for his people. And with them numbered may I be now and in eternity. And it begins here, doesn't it? And ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. Amen.
There'll be a prayer meeting for the nation tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock in the primary school hall. Mr. Burgess is expected to preach on next Lord's Day and Mr. Gilbert Hyde next Tuesday evening. Let's close with hymn 726. 726. Christ, whose glory fills the skies. Christ, the true, the only light, Sun of righteousness, arise, triumph o'er the shades of night. Day spring from on high be near, day star in my heart appear. Hymn 726.
June
504. Christ, whose glory.
Joy, God, sins, God, day.
And now may the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.